Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
A floating, drifting sunset of a song with a weeping dual lead guitars like an awesomely slowed down, new age version of Thin Lizzy. Hey everybody, it is Patrick here, and thanks for tuning in to Rockin' the Suburbs. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome everybody to this third installment in the Albums of 1975 week. We started out on Monday talking about the best-selling albums of 1975, that magical year 50 years ago, and yesterday we spoke about the critical picks. And all those year-end polls and greatest albums of that magical year, 1975, 50 years ago. And today, we are going to turn to our listeners, who, if you are one of them, you know how important they are into the running of this podcast and how much we rely on their excellent musical knowledge to help us out to make Rockin' the Suburbs what it is. So I polled some of our listeners informally and got some answers about their favorite albums from 1975. But I'm also happy to be able to use as a resource some playlists from radio programs that were broadcast on Rockin' the Suburbs radio. And I'm sure you know all about Rockin' the Suburbs Radio if you have listened to this podcast. But Harris King has a radio program, These Important Years, that airs a new episode every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You can catch it on Rockin' the Suburbs Radio, and you can always go find it up on Mixcloud. There are archived recordings of these programs for the most part. Now, Harris did a show on 1975, and he mentioned a whole bunch of records, but I wanted to highlight a few that he mentioned on his program. First, I'd like to talk about an album by Guy Clark that came out in 1975. It is called Old Number One, and it's the debut album by Texas singer-songwriter Guy Clark. Interestingly enough, it's considered now to be a key record in the outlaw country or progressive country, whatever you might call it, movement. Yet it was recorded right in the heart of Nashville in RCA Studio B. And that's kind of an irony. It was produced by Neil Wilburn and released in November of 1975. All the songs are written by Guy Clark, and there's some stone cold classics on here. Desperado's Waiting for a Train might be one you know. Rita Ballou, the opening track, also LA Freeway. And there's a great song called Texas 1947. Another album Harris mentioned is a fairly obscure one. Actually, I don't think it was originally on the list that I pulled from albums in 1975. I had to add it in a little bit later. But it is an album by a musician called Terry Allen. And the title of the record is Juarez. Allen's album was originally released on the Landfall Records label in 1975, and original copies of that one trade for over $100 on these sites now. I found a review from 2016 by the writer Andy Beta that does a good job of describing this album, I believe. Juarez, I quote, was an outlier even on the outlaw country scene, a hand-darned film noir that alludes to the fall of the Aztec Empire, Jesus, motel sex, and the purgatory that is the Rio Grande border. It's now regarded as a touchstone in all country, but even still, it has more in common with Cormac McCarthy's Border Trilogy, Mexican folk art, and Terrence Malick's Badlands than anything in the country genre. Centered around Allen's by turns barrel house and contemplative piano playing and his Texas twang with glints of mandolin, pedal steel, and maracas, Allen tells the story of two couples, one a sailor on shore leave with a Tijuana prostitute, the other a pachuco with his girlfriend and how their encounter ends in bloodshed. Let's hear the song Cortez Sail from Terry Allen's Juarez. Harris also mentions, not to anyone's surprise if you listen to his radio program, Kraftwerk, and that was also mentioned by Lester Bangs in his top 10. Another krautrock group, Harmonia, put out an album called Deluxe in the year 1975, and Harris also mentions an album by Neu, Neu 75, and Neu is N-E-U. And I want to read to you from one of my all-time favorite books about music. It's written by Julian Cope. Yes, that Julian Cope. World, Shut Your Mouth. And it's called Krautrock Sampler, subtitled One Head's Guide to the Great Cosmic Music from 1968 onwards. And here is his writing about Neu 75 in this book. This is Neu's perfect album. The reunion that transcended all their previous history. Perhaps the lack of pressure brought everything into clarity for just long enough. Neu 75 begins with the typical motoric driving-ness of Easy, but all the guitars have been substituted with a schoolroom piano of remedial efficiency and beautiful oboe-like synthesizers that billowing coo like Eddie Jobson when he was still trying to sound like Eno hadn't left Roxy Music on Stranded. Sealand follows, a floating, drifting sunset of a song with a weeping dual lead guitars like an awesomely slowed down, new age version of Thin Lizzy around Boys Are Back in Town time. Okay, that's exaggerating, but the guitar is between that first description and Bowie's Heroes title track. But then, this LP and La Dusseldorf were the two blueprints for Big Dave's Berlin period. The side finishes with the Damo Suzuki-type space vocal of Leb Wohl, another schoolroom piano from another kindergarten. Drifting, wistful, and charming, with its obvious tapes of waves lapping on a beach. Side 2 begins the transformation with the classic ur-punk of Hero, in which every proto-punk device is thrown into 6 heavily screamed minutes. Klaus Dinger sings like a man possessed, though not possessed of a singing voice, over banked Steve Jones mass guitars and the double drumming of life. This is followed by the 10-minute krautrock groove of e-music, a kind of mantric Bavarian shuffle that subtly pulverizes the flesh over a long time. Then it's back to a Hero again, here renamed After 8 in a much wilder version. Klaus Dinger has by now given up even attempting to be coherent and just drools the words out. It's the end of the best Neu LP of all. Julian Cope, he is a hero. We'll be right back. right. So thank you very much, Harris, for doing that radio show. Please, folks, tune into that thing. It's fantastic listening each Tuesday afternoon. A bunch of other listeners also weighed in with their choices. Mike Coley said Wish You Were Here is one of his favorites. It was big influence on him in high school. Eric Didrikson says Born to Run at the Top with Metal Machine music from Lou Reed taking silver. Maybe Born to Run gets the first two. I don't know. Paul Hayden also weighs in for Born to Run, and that was a big one for me as well. Bill Mulligan says the Bay City Rollers debut, Rollin', didn't come out in the United States until 1975. So there's a shout for the Bay City Rollers. Kevin Clement with ZZ Top's Fandango. Carl Amferson said the only record he had in 1975 was a single of Convoy. He was seven at the time. And Scott Parks, with one of my favorite lines of all, says he can't even pick his favorite Neil Young album from 1975. There are two incredible ones. Finally, Bud Verge weighs in with a pick of Elton John's Rock of the Westies. I thought that was really interesting. It came out in the MCA label in the United States in October of 1975. It was his 10th studio album, Elton, and I believe it was the successor to Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy, although I believe the Elton John band went through some changes and Elton played with some different folks on Rock of the Westies, so it has a little bit of a different sound. Island Girl is the big hit single from that record, but why don't we hear a song from that LP called Grow Some Funk. Right there, sounding awfully good from 1975. If anyone else weighed in with their favorite from 1975 and it didn't make its way to me, I apologize to you for that. We'll get that corrected if that is the case. Speaking of radio shows, Bob Peterson does an excellent radio show called Midlife Crisis that airs on Thursday afternoons starting at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, generally running till about 6. And it is filled with all kinds of great music. Bob often does a theme to his shows, and they're very, very entertaining, as well as being filled with just outstanding music. So mark that down or set an alarm to catch Bob's show whenever you can. He did a show on 1975 music, and I'll mention a couple things here. One, Bob actually did, it's kind of a two-parter. His second show that he did on 1975 was on 1975 R&B. We're going to touch on that more tomorrow, so I'll park that to one side for now. But let's dig into some of the songs and albums that Bob chose here. Bob also had on his show Metal Machine Music, so Eric Didrikson and Lester Bangs all have that one in common. Aerosmith, Toys in the Attic, mentioned that on the sales show. Fly by Night by Rush, that is the first time that has come up. That album came out in 75, and I believe Harris King also played some Rush on his radio program dedicated to 1975. Here is Black Sabbath, Sabotage, also on Bob's. Here's an interesting one, Rory Gallagher, Against the Grain. Very interesting LP that came out in the year 1975. And we come to Neil Young, and when I put kind of a little message out there to see what people were thinking about 1975, Bob came right back with Zuma, Zuma, Zuma. So Neil Young, Zuma, his seventh LP, released it with Crazy Horse, came out on the Reprise label in 1975. Of course, the other one is Tonight's the Night that came out. It's a stunning achievement to release those two records in a single calendar year. But Neil was really in an amazing artistic place around this time. So why don't we hear Barstool Blues from Neil Young and Crazy Horse from the Zuma LP from 1975. Okay, fantastic stuff right there. A few more from Dr. Bob, a few more from Bob Peterson that were aired on his 1975 Midlife Crisis program. Something from the bands, Northern Lights, Southern Cross. That was also, I believe, in the Village Voice Paz and Jop poll. And then some that we've mentioned already, Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here, David Bowie, Roxy Music, Bruce Springsteen, Patti Smith, and Bob Dylan's Blood on the Tracks. Another one that's mentioned, and I'm going to talk about this more in the final episode of this week, so I'll just mention it quickly. Brian Eno, Another Green World. Finally, Bob closed his program, and I think we'll close ours in the same way by mentioning the album from Jeff Beck, Blow by Blow. This is the first LP released under Jeff Beck's name, just Jeff Beck. He did do some stuff with the Jeff Beck Group, of course, and was in other rock and roll combos that you may know of. But this is a solo album that he put out. It's instrumental on the Epic label in 1975 and really was a landmark LP, and I think marked a whole new phase of the very talented Jeff Beck's artistic and recorded career. With that, I want to thank everybody who helped out to give some ideas here for the 1975 albums, our listeners. And if there's anything, certainly at the end of this week, that doesn't get mentioned that you think deserved it, please get in touch with us. You can send us an email, rock@suburbspod.com, or you can reach us on the social channels. We're at Suburbs Pod all across those. So now let's close with big thanks to all our listeners, including Harris and Bob Peterson. We're going to close with Jeff Beck doing Freeway Jam. And we'll talk to you guys with part four of the Albums of 1975 Week tomorrow. He can't even pick his favorite Neil Young album from 1975.